In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Matthew tells us in chapter 3 of his gospel, Jesus came from Galilee to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. In the name of our Lord Jesus, baptized for us, baptized with us. You know, it was just 2.5 weeks ago that we gathered here in God's house to celebrate Jesus' birth. Just 2.5 weeks ago that we heard the wonderful words of the angels, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. So over these past 2.5 weeks, have we seen peace on earth, goodwill among men? Well, not between us and Iran. Republicans and Democrats are still sniping at each other. We're waiting for the impeachment to come. People are not flocking to fill the churches, filled with this wondrous news and with joy. Yeah, you get the point. Jesus is coming. Doesn't seem to have changed things. Shouldn't it? Shouldn't he change things? John the Baptist thought so. John had been preparing the way for him. The Messiah is coming, he proclaimed to the people. He is mightier than I. I am not even worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. When he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will reward the righteous. He will condemn the unbelievers. Get ready. And then the Messiah came. And he wasn't doing what John said. He came to John just like everyone else. No fire. No powerful signs, no judging of the unbelievers and rewarding of the righteous. It just didn't seem right. And when John wanted to treat him differently, to not baptize him like he baptized every else, well, turns out that wasn't right either. Let it be so now, Jesus tells him. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He hadn't come to be any different. And he wasn't going to change things. Yet. Yet. And that's the point. Let it be so now, Jesus told John, now, at the beginning of his ministry, it was time for compassion. Compassion for sinners. It was a time for Jesus to come in lowliness and weakness. It was the time for him to offer himself to the weak and the sinful, to join himself to them, that in this way he might draw the weak and the sinful to himself, draw them to him so that he could share with them his help, his forgiveness. It was the time for bearing their burdens, their sorrows, that he then might share with them his strength, his holiness, the blessing of God. The time of power, of judgment, of separating the good from the bad, the wheat from the chaff, as John the Baptist said. That time would come Jesus would bring it, but that time was not yet. Let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And that's the other significant part of what he said to John. For us to fulfill all righteousness. John had an important part in the work of Christ. He was to work with Jesus in the now. And so are you. So are you. Because you see, you and I are still living in the now. Jesus is among us, but it is still in weakness and in lowliness. He's not doing great miracles among us. He is not rewarding us. He's not showing us his believers to be specially blessed people by, giving us wonderful health all the time, filling us with worldly riches, in this way showing us to be his beloved people so that the crowds of unbelievers can see that and say, hey, I want what they want, and then come and fill the church. No, the church isn't being filled with crowds. Jesus often lets us struggle in weakness, in lowliness, dealing with afflictions that are common to everyone. Physical struggles, of course. Also, mental and emotional struggles, afflictions that can be expensive to treat, that can bring death, that can wear you down and make you tire of life, that can even test your faith in God, make you wonder of his love, his power to save, his willingness to help. We even at times deal with afflictions that come simply because we are believers in Jesus, because we are trying to be faithful to God. John the Baptist, Jesus himself, they dealt with these things. John faithfully taught God's word, faithfully strove to follow it. In that faithfulness, he rebuked King Herod, because Herod had taken as his wife a woman who was already married. Rebuked by John, Herod arrested him, ended up beheading him. And of course, Jesus, faithfully teaching the word of God, is called a heretic and is rejected by his own people. Rejected as a false teacher, delivered up to the Romans, and crucified. What about us? We're Missouri Synod Lutherans. People who believe that the Bible is true. Who strive to follow its teachings. Have you ever been looked down upon because of this? Maybe even been rejected because of this? Have you had people refuse your invitation to come to your church because, you're Missouri Synod? One of those. It's not easy living in the now. This time of Jesus' weakness, if only he would return, is the powerful judge. Or if not that, if only he would at least show his power among us. Let it be so now, Jesus says. But even more than that, don't just let it be so. Don't just resign yourself to it. Open your eyes, the eyes of faith, to see that the mighty Savior is indeed working powerfully among you. When Jesus was baptized, we're told the heavens were opened to him. The Holy Spirit came down upon him, and his Father spoke of his love for him and his pleasure with him. Now, although this is not heard or seen at our baptisms, when you were baptized, when I was baptized, the same thing happened. For St. Paul tells us, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. He speaks of you being joined to Christ in your baptism, in his baptism then, joined to him in his life, in his death for you, in his resurrection from the dead. And so, baptized into Jesus, you too are God's beloved child, as was he in this life. And so don't ever doubt that when bad things happen in this life, in this now, things that seem to say you're not beloved of God, don't doubt that you are. You're his baptized child whom he loves. And since in your baptismal faith you are also God's beloved child, as was Jesus, that means you, like John, are also involved in the Lord's work. For thus, he said to John, in this seemingly weak and inactive time and way, in this, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. For us. God's righteousness. You know, his rule among us, rescuing us from sin and death, raising us to new life, showing us the rightness of his ways. His righteousness. Jesus told John that that simple act of putting water upon him in the name of God was a part of that righteousness. We have received the same baptism. The baptism of John, the baptism of Christ. And so we are also those who are involved with Jesus then in the fulfilling of all righteousness. And there are many different ways in which God does it. You're not involved in a work of righteousness like John was, baptizing. You're not involved in that work. But there are so many other ways. After this sermon, the offerings that you put in the plate. Well, they may not seem like much. And hey, let's be honest, maybe they are not as much as they could be. You should think about what you give carefully. You should pray that God help you to be generous, even sacrificial in your giving. You're giving to him and his work. But just realize, with a simple thing like the money you have, money that you use to pay your taxes, to buy food, to see a movie, to buy toilet paper, with your simple money, you are supporting a place where you can hear the words of God, where you can receive forgiveness and eternal life in the Lord of all creation. God is using your offerings to fulfill all righteousness. It is a great and holy work. And by your friendships with others, as you give to them your love and comfort and help and encouragement, and in that, the love and comfort of Jesus, as you give it to others in their need, you are involved in Christ's work of fulfilling all righteousness. Jesus did his work by not standing apart from people and being different, but instead by joining with them, being one with them, even sinners in their need, joining us in baptism. And this means for us, we're not called to go out and associate just with fellow believers. Jesus loved and died for everyone, so that everyone might be brought to him and be rescued from the condemnation of their sins. We are a part of that. So love others. Help them. Pray for them. Invite them to come and hear of Jesus and receive him with you. It's the work that Jesus took on himself in his baptism. And it's the work that he brings you into in your baptism into him. It's a mighty work, this work of rescuing sinners and uniting them with Jesus. Don't be fooled by the seeming weakness and ineffectiveness of it in the here and now. It is happening. Pray that God open your eyes to see. What Luther wrote in his baptismal hymn, which we just sang, it applies to our every work that is done in Jesus' name. All that the mortal eye beholds is water as we pour it. Before the eye of faith unfolds the power of Jesus' merit. For here it sees the crimson flood to all our ills bring healing. The wonders of his precious blood, the love of God revealing, assuring his own pardon. His pardon through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit is living and ruling, here and now, in hiddenness and weakness, but in the age to come, in power and glory. Amen.